Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open,
my door's always open
to dreamers and friends.
Dreamers and friends.
Oh, when I'm attacked,
oh, oh, oh,
I protect and defend, because my name is America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Folks, session is over in Florida, or it's over this coming week. So new legislation, believe it or not, for the next season will be starting to be thought about and starting to be worked on. Get a hold of the Alliance website, goflca.org, and see what's happening in your area and become a friend of your representative. Because if you work with them when they are in their home district, then guess what? When you call them or send something to them when they're in Tallahassee, they'll listen. If they don't know who you are, they're not going to listen to you as much. But if they know who you are and they know you're on top of things, that's real important. And unfortunately, in Florida, we have a lot of things to be on top of, especially the fact that nobody's checking our citizenship in order to vote. And that, to me, is a big one. I was very pleased this past week as the Supreme Court made a 9-0 decision on President Trump being on the ballot. And I wanted to, and I did ask a very dear friend of mine, Mike Hill, who was involved in the Florida legislature. He was a representative. And that was how I got to know him. He was probably the only honest representative that I ever met. But that was, God bless you, Mike. But it is so important that we understand not necessarily the laws, but the procedure and what happens. So the fact that the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 says to me, well, we have a hope of saving this, quote, democracy. Remember, we have a republic, folks. What a democracy means really is one person, one vote. Nobody has the right to tell you how to vote. And that's what the left was trying to do. So, Mike Hill, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me today. What do you think about that Supreme Court ruling?
Well, Karen, thank you for having me. And I'll tell you, it was an anticipated ruling, but I will admit I was surprised that Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson Brown also agreed with the others and made it unanimous. And the reason I was surprised is those three in particular so much carry the Democratic Party platform that I thought they were going to go against it, even though everything legally and lawfully pointed to that it should have been a 9-0 decision. So pleased with that. And what that should do is immediately strike down where they ruled to remove Trump from the ballot in Maine and Illinois or any other state that has thoughts of doing that, because they were actually working it in many other states. So that will strike all that down. And I'm pleased that that is one less legal effort that Trump has to spend his money on instead of campaigning. And that was the whole idea anyway. I think they knew that they had no legal standing on doing it, but they were pressing it anyway just to keep Trump tied up instead of campaigning. But that backfired on them also.
Yes, it certainly did. And I think it's going to continue to backfire, because to me, what we are seeing is what affirmative action has done to our country, because we no longer have the best and brightest in the areas where we need to have them. What we have are people that have been picked because they're a certain skin color, they're a certain ethnicity. So rather than having the best and the brightest as our DAs, for example, as our district attorneys, we have people who, to me, are nothing more than bobbleheads and use their emotion to drive the law rather than the law to drive the law. And I thought that when they started using the word insurrection, that one they pulled right out of the Constitution because they had to use a word that was tied to the Constitution in order to be able to say this was the infraction, because you could have a riot. You can speak. We are supposed to be able to speak our mind without recurrence. And yet, what did they do? They said this is an insurrection. I thought the funny thing was, Mike, that it was probably the worst planned insurrection that I ever saw, because there were no guns, there were no bombs, nobody was blowing up anything, nobody was graffitiing anything, and people weren't running through the halls screaming and yelling. They were walking peacefully. So how is that an insurrection, you think?
You're absolutely right, Karen. You know, it's funny. Most of the people in Congress and a lot in D.C. have never even read the Constitution in detail, much less understand it. But somebody on the left was smart enough to point out, say, hey, insurrection, if it's an insurrection, then you cannot hold office as a congressional officer. But this was the mistake they made. The mistake they made was, and particularly in Colorado, is that they pointed to the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which prohibits individuals from holding office, but it does not prevent anyone from running for office or being elected to office, because Congress then can remove someone who is disqualified at any time. And it also does not apply to presidents. It's to elected officers, and the president is not considered an elected officer. It is a presidential election, which is different. And then, as you said, Karen, it was not an insurrection. They use that word because, according to Article 3 of the 14th Amendment, then you could not hold office. Didn't say you couldn't run, but they used that word specifically. And they had that sham January 6th committee put together. And everyone knew it was a sham from the very beginning, when they would not allow the Republican minority leader at that time, who was McCarthy, choose who they wanted to be on that committee. Instead, Nancy Pelosi can pick the Republicans she wanted. Liz Cheney and who was that other goofball?
Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah.
He's the crier.
That's right, the fake crier.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi chose those two, handpicked them specifically because they were anti-Trump. They were never Trumpers. And she knew they would go along with that entire sham committee, which is what they did. And it cost them. Both Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are now both out of office, voted out because they went along with that whole sham insurrection thing that came out of that January 6th committee.
Yes, and the fact that we have not even seen the full tape of what went on. There is a great timeline. If you go to, I think it's Cowboy Logic on RAV, on, I don't know what station it is, depends on the programming that you have, but they have a timeline that refutes everything that this committee said and did and tried to prosecute people. So it is my hope, once President Trump gets in office, that he pardons all of them, because they have no right being there. Even those that said that they want to blow something up. Unfortunately, in America, you can say things like that. it's your actions that get you in trouble. So
that's
you
right.
can say, and, you know, the government is phony and the government is false and nobody has the right to do anything because that's your opinion. You have the right to your opinion. What you don't have is your right, a right to change the facts. So I'm hoping that President Trump will get rid and pardon all of those people. And I hope they have a big hefty lawsuit because the other people that have done this to them have done this. They should be in jail. Those are the ones.
They should be. Yes. Yeah, so those are political prisoners. Those judges were all partisan hacks who went along with this whole insurrection nonsense. And everyone knew it. It was so unfair. It was so unjust, so un-American. And those Democrats went along with it. And by the way, I must add, Karen, that my good friend Richard Viguerie says when we are calling out what they are doing, don't use the terms leftist and progressives, even though that's what they are. He said, because that will not be on the ballot. Democrats are on the ballot. Now, when you're talking internationally, what's going on, like with the European Union or some others, those are leftists. They're all the same, and there are progressives. But here in America, Democrat, Republican, or some other party is what appears on the ballot. And we must call out the Democrats for what they are. And those are communists. Those are ones who want to divide this country, want to break us up into partisan groups. And as you started off the show, they want to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, where they want to put people in places where they are not qualified. They are simply put there because of their skin color or even now their sexual orientation, which should have nothing to do with it. What you want to do in your bedroom is your business. But it has nothing to do with your qualifications to be placed in a certain position, such as our assistant attorney general, U.S. attorney general, or our secretary of transportation, Pete Buttigieg. I mean, it is all utter and complete nonsense and by design what Democrats are doing to destroy this country.
You are absolutely right. And usually when I write something, I write Democrats and then I put a slash and I put globalists because that's what they are aiming at. They do not want countries. They don't want elected officials. So really these morons are voting to vote themselves out of a job. What they want are a group of people that are selected by the United Nations as the countries are divided into regions that would be governed by selection of the people who follow what's going on in the United Nations. And if you want a summary, then go to the World Economic Forum, because that's really the guiding light. And that is the group that is implementing what we have going on. And in order for them to take over a country, they had to break it up into segments and take over the segments piece by piece by piece. And recently, I have noticed the healthcare industry, not that I haven't followed COVID. I am, I guess, an anti-vaxxer because I did not believe in the vaccine, but that's not what I'm talking about. I think the stage was set with Obamacare, because what I'm noticing is the change in my medical care. And Mike, you're in the insurance business. So I'm sure that you have dealt with the supplemental insurance that comes, that we now have. But what I'm noticing more than anything is that when I go to the doctor, or my husband went to the doctor, there's a code number that when they say you have this disease or you know, this ailment or whatever, they put a code number with it. And that code number seems to, now I'm not a doctor, I don't know, but it seems to reflect the type of care that you are expected to be given as a result of that code number. Am I correct? What is that code number all about?
Yes, Karen, but it goes further. That code number is how they get paid. They cannot get paid unless there is a code associated with the treatment that then those at, in the higher ups in the Department of Health and so forth who pay these doctors, there has to be a code associated with it. You just can't write down treated for a broken finger or a broken limb. You have to associate a code with it, and that's how they get paid. So if your diagnosis falls outside of a certain code, because we're all individuals and individually we're affected differently by an illness or an injury, if it falls outside of that, the doctor is forced to instead put it under a code so that they can get paid, which could mean then that you either won't receive the medicine you require, the treatment you require, or even to get reimbursed for your out-of-pocket cost.
So what happens then, because this is what happened with my husband. He was diagnosed and he was given a medicine that he was allergic to. And we went through hell to get a different prescription. And is that because that medicine was attributed to that code and that was all that they would give him? Is that the way it works now?
Yes, and it's probably more likely that that was the, based on that code that was given, there are certain prescriptions that can be prescribed to take care of that ailment. And the medicine that your husband needed was not a part of that prescription code. So instead, they gave him the medication, even though he was allergic to it. We're not talking about individual care anymore. We're talking about a one-size-fits-all, which is a disaster. What we, not everyone reacts the same way to taking Tylenol with codeine in it as others do. You have to be able to treat someone individually, and that is what nationalized healthcare prevents us from doing.
Wow, that is exactly right. And folks, Mike said exactly what's going on. And I see that happening in other agencies also. And that is one size fits all. That's what they want to do. That's what communism is all about. So that yes. There is no individual thought. Nobody gets to make a decision. It is, this is what it is, period. You have to follow it. Get in your box. We're not letting you out. And you're going to listen to what we say because we're smarter than you. How did they get to be smarter than us? I have no idea. However, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There still are some people left. And I think that's a good thing because I read this past week that the ruling that the judge made in Austin that said that Abbott cannot legally send the migrants back. The panel, the Fifth Circuit, overturned that decision. So yes. We do still have some rational thinkers in America. But who's dictating that, Mike? Is it the insurance company? Is it Obamacare? Where is that rule coming from?
It is not coming from the insurance companies. The insurance companies have to abide by the rules that do come from Obamacare, the rules that come from Medicare, which is, again, just socialized medicine, the rules that come from Medicaid, again, socialized medicine. Medicare is for those who are 65 and older. Medicaid are for those who could be under 65, but need care and are destitute, they're poor, or they're under the age of 65 and desperately need the insurance because they don't have their own private insurance. So that's what Medicaid is paid for. And those government entities are the ones who dictate or determine what those codes are. And then the insurance companies, because they have to get paid, they have to get reimbursed, they follow what the dictates of those codings are so that they can get paid. The same with doctors, so they can get paid. They will use those codes. Otherwise, payment is denied to them. So the doctors are forced to do it, and it's all because of this socialized medicine that we have. We call it Obamacare, which, by the way, could have gone away completely during Trump's first presidential session that he was in. And it came to a committee whose chairman at the time was Representative Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz. He was the deciding vote. If he had voted yes, Obamacare would have been gone completely. We would have snuffed it out right then. But instead, Matt Gaetz voted yes. And when he was asked, why did he vote yes? He said because he did not want to stop the debate. He wanted it to go over to the Senate and allow them to debate it and then see where it came out. And of course, with a Democrat-controlled Senate, it would pass. But Representative Matt Gaetz could have stopped it, and he did not. We could be without Obamacare right now if it were not because of Matt Gaetz.
Wow. Well, that's something that we have to consider, because I think maybe somebody should talk to him and ask him about that. It seems as though he's changed a lot of his opinions from what they used to be to what they are today. But people have been writing and asking me, and they keep on saying, well, Trump says he's going to get rid of Obamacare. What's his policy? What is he going to do? I think that he's going to go back to, and this is my personal opinion, I think that he's going to go back to individual care, get rid of Obamacare. You can go to the doctor of your choice, and that doctor can actually subscribe medicine that will fix your particular problem. And when people hear that, they go crazy and they say, well, that's not a policy at all. How is that not a policy, Mike?
Well, it works, Karen. And how do I know it works? I'm friends with a doctor here in Pensacola, a family practice doctor, who said to me, Mike, I am officially going off the grid. I said, what does that mean? He says, I'm no longer accepting Medicare or Medicaid patients. And because of that, I don't have to follow those codes that they give us. Because of that, I can treat them as individuals. They can pay me themselves, but I'm not going to be reliant on being paid by the government anymore. So this was years ago. This was probably like in 2017, 2018. I saw this doctor last fall and asked her, how is her practice going? She said, it is booming. So these are people who said, I will pay you. Just give me the proper treatment and diagnosis. She is off the grid. We need more doctors doing that, being brave in order to do it. Some doctors can't because of the community that they serve. Their community can't afford to pay them. So they're going to have to continue taking Medicare and Medicaid. Some doctors, that is all that they take, is Medicare and Medicaid. So they're not going to give it up. But doctors who can, start giving Americans a choice so that they can receive the proper treatment that they deserve.
Oh, that would be fabulous. And that is exactly what we need, because unlike what Obama said, which was, you can keep your doctor if you want. That was a lie.
That's right.
Hasn't Obamacare affected the price of insurance as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because when you start restricting any product, then the price will increase. So you start creating the old supply and demand. The demand is greater than supply, which causes prices to go up. when, as you say, I sell insurance, and when Obamacare first came out, in order for us to be able to offer any sort of health insurance, which I have a health insurance license to be able to sell it, you had to take this course and a continuing education course describing what Obamacare is and how it works. So I took the course. It was some crazy thing, like 8-hour course or something like that. So I had to study Obamacare. And Karen, I will tell you, at the end of going through that course, it was very clear to me that Obamacare is not health care. Instead, it is socialism. It is a way of controlling and rationing the healthcare industry according to how they want it to work. We see the disastrous results of that coming from the United Kingdom and even Canada, where when people really want treatment, they come to the United States because there's such a long waiting list in countries like Canada and United Kingdom, who are supposed to be free market countries, but indeed they are not.
Wow. Well, we have to stop giving them the power to destroy us, and that's up to us. There is nothing else that is more important to me. People only have power over you if you let them do it, and we have been letting them by not paying attention. We have to pay attention. It is so important. Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Folks, I hope you understand that it is the goal of the Democrats globalists, and that's all of them, plus the rhinos, to destroy this country. And they are doing it piece by piece by piece. And this show is going to show you and tell you how they're doing it so that you have the tools and understanding to be able to stop it. How do you stop it? You got to vet the candidates. You got to ask them the right questions. It's nice that they went to school and they lived in the community and they go to church, but that's not going to help you in the future. You have to ask them, what's your view on Obamacare? What's your view on blah, 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 whatever it is that is important to you? If you don't ask the right questions, guess what happens? You don't get good answers. Mike, how does anyone find you if they have questions that, and perhaps if you live in Florida, have insurance questions that you need answered?
Well, probably the easiest way to reach me, Karen, is through email. And they can go to MikeHillConservative@gmail.com. Send me a note and I will respond. Mike. Okay. HillConservative@gmail.com.
And I will put that in this week's newsletter. And thank you all for listening. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Go FLCA. Get your kids out of those disgusting schools masquerading as public education. They are nothing more than indoctrination clinics. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. Gilray is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. By the way, the Alliance is having an event next week. Please go to their page if you live anywhere nearby. Join us. Yes, it is a fundraiser. It takes a lot of money to go to Tallahassee, and all of the money that we get goes for the cause. It doesn't go for big salaries of the people who are involved. How do I know that? Because I'm not getting a big salary. So we have to make sure that the important organizations that are actually working for the people and doing something good get funded, because without funding, there is no organization. And unfortunately, that seems to be the way in everything. Now, we just spoke about the insurance and how that is affecting us and what Obamacare is really all about, and how it really changed our way of healthcare. If you remember correctly, Obamacare was Obama's baby because he really wants universal healthcare. What does that mean? It means one size shoe fits all. So what happened was, things are coded. Your disease now has a code number, and that code number is attributed to your care and to your medicine. And if you don't react from that medicine with that care, tough on you, your insurance company may withhold funding. How do I know that? Because, again, that happened to me. And that is why I was so interested in finding out what this really was all about. And if you remember correctly, Ezekiel Emanuel was the brother of Rahm Emanuel. Remember Rahm, never let a crisis go to waste. Well, Ezekiel wrote a life program for Complete Life. And in this program, which Obamacare is modeled after, if you are younger than 12, 13 years old, you don't get care. If you're older than 55, 60, you don't get care, because we are the useless eaters. That's the way they think about us. Our care is limited, very limited. And this is the way the left intends to take over the country, by slowly, slowly, slowly taking over every facet of our lives through their, now we see, lawfare. And that is when they use the law, and we have some wonderful laws, but they use it against us. And this is what we have going on. But there's hope. And I was really pleased by Super Tuesday to see that all the hard work that we did when we first started the Tea Party seems to have been paying off. I feel that we were the ones that we sowed the seeds. And now the next generation, the seeds are rooting and they are beginning to understand what's at stake. And it was a very exciting election. And I have asked a very dear friend to join me today because she was at the beginning of the Tea Party. And Cindy Lucas, thank you so much. It's so great to always talk to you. It's so uplifting most of the time. But I think we can be uplifted now. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the idea, I heard somebody say maybe last party, oh, it's dead. No, it's not. We were never dead. Everybody needs to remember that when in 2016, in April, I think, believe it was April, or it could have been earlier than that, it might have been January, Joe Dugan from the South Carolina Tea Party had a convention, and he brought in the presidential primary candidates, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Donald Trump. Steve Bannon was the MC, and Donald Trump came in, and everybody was sitting there in the audience, and people like Danita and Jack Gillis, who had the Fort Lauderdale Tea Party, was up front, and a lot of others, and they all sat there and listened to Donald Trump. It was really something, and that was the beginning of it. He was courting the Tea Party, because in the old days, back way back when Everett Wilkinson had the first Tea Party in Palm Beach County, Donald Trump would pay for the venue for him. So he's been with us a long, long time, and we haven't gone away. Maybe people change their names. Maybe they are conservative groups. Maybe they started a Trump club. Maybe they're just, you know, it could be a thousand things. But the same people are still out there in the fight, still fighting for the same reasons against big government. And that's where we are. You know, we're going to start to see with the reduction of government, if he gets in again, which I believe he will, because people have had it. People are really waking up now. I don't know if we woke enough of people up the last time, because we were concentrating in the beginning mostly on Obamacare. But we did take the House, and Jim DeMint worked really hard when he was in the Senate. And he was the reason we got Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and some others that were elected during that time. And I believe now it's going to be a clean sweep. I think Trump is going to, we're going to have a lot of MAGA candidates win.
Yes, and we have been seeing that too. And I thought it was very, very interesting that nobody is really discussing the amount of ballots that were cast for the Republican, for Donald Trump. They are talking about percentages, and Joe won 82% and this percent and that percent, but they don't ever say that almost double the amount of Republicans voted, and that's what we need. We need our people to go and vote, because I am 100% sure that they will do everything humanly possible to try to steal this election. And unfortunately, the rhinos, especially in Florida, have made it easier for them to do that. But fortunately, the people, as you said, I really believe that the people are beginning to see what this is all about. And they are really finished with all of this woke garbage. But again, we have to be careful, because they will change the name and continue the same policy. And we see that happening. ESG just has a different name. DEI will have a different name. They will still continue the policy, and we will still be paying for the same garbage if we don't pay attention. And that's what my concern is, as they keep on throwing these continuing resolutions at us. What do you think about that, Cindy? I know that you're familiar with name changes, because they've done it to us how many times?
Yeah, they change the names all the time. And you know, and look at how many people woke up now. They know. I'll give you an example. Karl Rove was on Fox News, and, you know, he was, you know, oh, Trump better be careful and this and that, you know, and still playing the old George Bush thing. And, you know, I mean, everybody knows what globalism is now. Everybody knows what elitism is. Now everybody's seeing lawfare. Everybody's seeing what they're doing to this man. Everybody knows about the border now. When we were fighting the border back then, nobody really knew why we were fighting the border. But now they got a good picture of it, and it's happening, and people don't like it. So the old guard, unfortunately, need to either get on the train, get on the Trump train, or just shut their mouth and go back and do something else, because we're done with you. We don't want to have anything to do with you. And this is going to be a very interesting time. I would like to see who Trump is going to pick for VP, which I think is going to be very important, because he has 4 years, and what's going to happen after 4 years? So we want somebody to carry on the MAGA, you know, agenda. So that's going to be really important. We have to take all that into consideration. And but I do think that, you know, all of the stuff that went along with that, nobody knew about it. And now they know about it. They know what's going on. They understand it.
No, you are absolutely right. And now more than ever, I believe we've got to pay attention to what's going on in our local communities. Because if we don't, then, I mean, I was just reading, I remember there is now a big push to go after the white Christian nationalists, calling us the worst thing that can happen. The biggest security risk in America are those that live in the rural counties. And I'm looking at this, and of course my reaction is, are you nuts? In the meantime, we have Islamists killing people, and we have all these gangs coming in, but it's the white Christian nationalists. So that says to me that we better pay attention to the people that we put in office. Otherwise, we're going to be subject to a tremendous amount of horrific policies being thrown at us. And if we don't choose the right commissioners, if we don't choose the right sheriff, then we're in a world of hurt. And I know, Cindy, that you have seen a lot in your community, because as we know, they keep on changing the name, but their real goal are those 15-minute cities. So maybe you can share that with everyone so they will know what to look for.
The 15-minute city, you know, is sort of part of the UN Agenda 21-2030 project, you know, where you get everybody to move into the urban boundary. And you build all these apartments, and you get people out of their cars, and they can ride a bicycle. And now we're going to get the train, the fast track. We're going to have a stop here, which I'm not happy about, but a lot of people are, because they don't understand why. They can't connect the dots. So and also your food. You know, you'll have your green market downtown, and you'll have everything that you need. So you know, there's no reason to live. To go anywhere outside that's going to take you more than 15 minutes. Meanwhile, at the same time, they've appointed, we have a county here, we have county commissioners, and we have the city of Stewart commissioners. Both of those, I would say, probably more on the city side, they've adopted all this. The county doesn't have it on their website, but they are going along with it, even though they complain about what the city's doing. But here's what they're doing also. So we were a county that didn't have any, we had a good conservation here, mostly because of a Democrat. And that was Maggie Hortella, who was Janet Reno's sister. She was very instrumental, her and Nat Reed, who was a big, they started Jupiter Island. The Bushes live there. All the elites live there now. Mark Levin lives on the ocean there, blah, blah, blah. There were the people that bought up a lot of land in Martin County. And we were known as the non-growth county. Developers knew not to come here. But what they did is they bought up all this land and they put it into conservation, which protected us from seeing the sprawl that you see everywhere in Florida, except for certain parts where you live, Karen, and other parts. Well, now the sprawl, they're dead. Everybody died. and they turned on the faucet, and now we have building going on everywhere, but mostly inside of the urban boundary. Lots of apartments, and now we're going to have the Live Local Act. And so you'll live in those apartments, and you'll get up on the train, and you can ride your bike, and everything can be done in 15 minutes, and it's ridiculous. Meanwhile, they want to put a 2% or a 3% tax that's going to be on the ballot, so they can buy more land to put into conservation. I mean, it's like a joke. I mean, on every corner, there's apartment buildings, and we haven't even started with the low affordable housing. So they're hypocrites. Basically, they're hypocrites. And I'll give you another example. Indiantown, which got incorporated a couple years ago, is out west of Martin County. Is a pretty big county. So it's on the way to Okeechobee. It's a little town. Has like a little famous inn there that one time Prince Charles or somebody stopped by there years ago, blah, blah, blah. Latinos, some are not, you know, probably illegal. But basically, they're trying to do some good things out there. And we already vetted her, but she's one of the people that's going to be coming on our next meeting. Is going to be this woman who is running for a county commission seat, she said, on the Indiantown commission seat. And she's saying, you know, they're going to try to build that out now. That's a farming community, and it should stay a farming community, and it should be organically done. And we've been talking to her about that. You know, they should say to people, like, okay, we used to have carnation farms here. Up to about 9 years ago, we had flower farms here. They're all gone. So I suggested that what they should be doing out there is promoting farming, promoting people, even if you have, you know, maybe only have 5 acres, but you want to grow flowers. Yeah. And if you want to sell them 7 days a week, you get your little cart and you put them up there in the little town, and people will go there and they'll buy them from you. That's the kind of stuff that's organic. That's not somebody controlling you. But they, the commissioners, listen to the planners. And then we have the regional council. We have the Treasure Coast Regional Council, which I don't know if you have that up there, Karen, but I'm sure they have them all around Florida, because we're connected with Palm Beach, Indian River. And these people give advice, okay, to our commissioners. Andre Duany, who built Seaside, he's an urban planner. He said fascism is very efficient. We have him saying that, is now come back again and gone to Vero Beach and trying to get them to do all kinds of things to their little town. And this is you're actually building a prison. You will live in a prison, is what this is. They're saying it's about community and bringing people together. But when you go to Oxford, England, and you look it up, because they're doing it in Oxford, England, and you look who's writing those articles about it, it is going to be like a prison. Okay, so that's what it is. And they're promoting it here in Florida and in other counties, and some counties don't even know it. And I think what has to happen is, and this is what we're going to tell all of the elected officials that we have running now, is that what do we need the Treasure Coast the Regional Council for? Why do we need them? Get out of it. And who is the planner? And who's the staff that they hire, the commission hires? Who are they? Where did they go to school? Who vetted them? What do they believe in? Because these are the ones that give advice to our county commissioners and our city commissioners, and then they run with it. And I'll give you an example. They do this downtown, and, you know, we never had a lot of parking, but they just made it incredibly worse, okay?
They don't want people in cars. They want people in mass transit.
Right.
Because that's easier to control.
Right, but they're also confused because they talk about the river, and and the waterfront, and la, 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 la. They're not preserving anything. They tore down all these historical homes. I'm like, where was the historical society? And then they go and put trees down the main road, and then they get up there and they go, well, you know, we have to worry about the water. The water that you are now have to, you know, you have to water the trees. Put them in the middle of the road. What do you think? But this is all free money, too, coming through grant programs. So yeah. A local engineer, Peter Capra, or not Peter, whatever. Peter Capra was actually his brother who renovated my house. Joe Capra is the engineer in town that everybody uses. He loves grant money. So yeah. He has his little people come out and they offer all these ideas. And, oh, you can get a federal grant for this and a federal grant for that. And that's why it's all happening.
And what we have to do is make sure that those federal grants work with your county commissioners and read them and make sure that they are absolutely have nothing to do with what do you have to do? What are the strings that are attached? And you mentioned the town planners. They were very important to find out where they live because the majority of them don't live in the town that they're planning for. We need to have us, our people, go to the planning and zoning meetings. We are the ones that it's our town, it's our community. At a meeting the other day, I was talking to our county commissioner, and I'm asking them, what on earth do we need another solar farm for? Well, we got a grant for it, Karen. In the meantime, you're taking away farming. You're taking away food at a time when everybody is saying, oh, we need food. We're going to have a food shortage. So how smart is that? It's not smart. As I said multiple times, our country is being run by affirmative action graduates. And another really big one, if you're in or know anyone in California, for years and years and years, we used to fight about the dams. They want to shut down all the dams. They want to get rid of them. And the one on the Klamath River is the one that we fought about so hard. We kept it. And then Newsom just said, okay, let's get rid of it to save the salmon. Well, what they didn't realize is when they blow the dams, all of these people will not have hydroelectric power. That's one. So the grid will be stressed out. But in addition to that, the river is running so fast, it's bringing all kinds of garbage and down to the fish that are in there, and the fish can't survive in the water that's running so fast. And instead of being able to save the water from the mountains is now being dumped into the Pacific Ocean without farmers being able to use it for agriculture. So please, folks, I mean, the things that they are doing are just, to me, insane. They are just absolutely insane. These people are crazy. And I don't see any of their policies working and helping anybody.
There are things that is really important, too. You know, you're mentioning the planners. You have to look at, I don't know if you have it up there, we have community redevelopment advisory.
Yes, we have
commissioners,
that.
You know, get to pick somebody to put on these boards, okay? Well, somebody read me the guidelines, all right, for the different kind of people that can be on the board. Well, realtors, developers, lawyers, and then there's one regular person. So, I mean, what? They already have a stake in building low affordable housing. They already have a stake into building apartments on every corner. You know, this is like, really, we're the citizens are the ones that should be on there. And the idea that they have this as a like a requirement, okay? So, you know, everybody, as far as I can see, none of these people want to know about it because my friend who trusts her, I saw her today because I'm taking care of her dog. And when I said to her, something like, well, now they're going to pursue it. Where are they getting the money, Susan? I said, we're going to be broke. She just looks at me like she knows I'm right. But she's making so much money. The traffic is horrible, but they're hiring her. Okay, so she's in the same cabal. That's what's going on here, and it's really sad. But people are starting to wake up, and I'll tell you why. I had a meeting, and we had one of these commissioners, somebody who's running for commission, come in. And we've asked every single one of them that we want our meeting. We want these commissioner meetings not to be at 9 o'clock in the morning on a weekday. We want them to be at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. So people can actually go to the meeting.
Yes, and what we also should be demanding is, what is this? You can only speak for 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
That's right.
We're paying their salaries. We should be able to talk. They should have to listen to us. And if they don't like what they're saying, what we're saying, then that's too bad. But that's how a conversation starts. Cindy, your newsletter is wonderful. Tell everyone how they can get a hold of it, because the things that are happening in one county or one place often happen someplace else. And I want everybody to be aware of it before we run out of time.
So it's the Martin Tea Party Committee, and you can reach us at, well, I'll just give you my email. It's LuckyCin, LuckyCin, @comcast.net. That's LuckyCin@comcast.net. Or you can reach us by my phone, which is 561-301-1601. Or you can email me at LuckyCin@comcast.net, which I just said. So, and it's, you can ask to be put on the email, and we don't send one out every day. I try to restrict it, and my partner tries to restrict it. Sometimes I have to go back and edit it because I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. My head's going around in a circle. And then I'm like, oh my God, the grammar was so bad.
Folks, have a wonderful week, and make sure that you pay attention. And if you live in Florida, make sure that you vote on the 19th. That's primary day in Florida. Even though President Trump will be the candidate, we want to show him how many people support him, because now more than ever, he is going to need our support. Because if we think they have gone after him before, watch out. They have just gotten started. So make sure that you vote. Make sure, if you can't vote on voting day, make sure that you early vote. But voting is the answer right now. Make sure you do it. See you again next week, folks. Have a wonderful week.
I'm America. Yes, America.